This is Anna Karmu with UN News. With Sudan so much at the center of the whole volatile Horn of Africa region, its political fate will have major implications for a number of other quite vulnerable neighboring countries, according to the UN's special advisor on the country. Nicholas Haysom was recently in New York and in an interview with UN News spoke about how resolving the Sudanese crisis would generate stability for the entire region. Sudan has remained deadlocked in recent weeks over a power-sharing agreement between a coalition of opposition and protest groups and Sudan's ruling military council. Although on Wednesday a potentially historic political agreement was signed, with negotiations continuing towards a 3-year power-sharing deal to be followed by a return to full civilian rule. Mr. Haysom spoke to UN News' Ben Maller late last week.
Well, I think, and I was there myself, it's a very exciting moment and potentially a defining moment for Sudan. We have a situation where the people, so to speak, and one's very conscious if you're in Khartoum that it does involve the people, men, women and children, have decided to take power back into their hands and to attempt to address problems which have plagued Sudan for some say 30 years, some say 50 years. And they have that opportunity now to deal not only with the question of replacing the Bashir government with a civilian authority, replacing the current military council with a civilian authority, but also with attempting to resolve those problems in the periphery of Sudan, such as Sudan, South Kordofan, Blue Nile, and finding a comprehensive solution. Or, on the other hand, lapsing into a catastrophic civil war. So the stakes are high, but the prize is also tantalizingly within reach and would be a significant victory for the Sudanese people.
From a UN perspective, what are you seeing as the key challenge or the key challenges that, let's say, Sudan's neighbors in Africa should be concerned about?
Well, let me just start off with the with that. I think Sudan, you know, has 8 or 9 neighbors. It's right in the center of the Horn of Africa, which is a volatile region. And if things play out well for Sudan, I think it bodes well for the Horn of Africa. If they play out badly, then I think it will have implications for a number of other quite vulnerable states. And so just bear in mind, we have Somalia on the one side, we have conflict in the Sinai on another side, we have Central African Republic, we have South Sudan, we have Ethiopia going through a moment, testing moment. So it really is an area which is on the brink, as it were. If we can resolve the Sudanese crisis profitably, so to speak, then it will have a spin-off in terms of generating stability for the much bigger area, and the converse as well.
And right now, after the protests, the reported killings of scores of protesters, the molestation of some of the protesters, there is now talk of a breakthrough. Describe this for us. As the UN Secretary General Special Advisor for this particular situation?
Well, we should remind ourselves that right at the outset, the African Union laid down some firm markers, that Sudan would be suspended in respect to membership of the AU and its structures if it didn't return authority to a civilian-led government. And I think the Secretary General took note of it, and he quite specifically requested me to support the AU initiative. In other words, not to run a parallel UN process, but to support the AU. And I think that's to establish new template for collaboration on such issues. As it happens, primarily I would want to describe the current breakthrough as a Sudan-led breakthrough. It's one in which the international community have had a hand and they have applied pressure on the parties, and I need to say there's quite a considerable degree of internationalization of the Sudan conflict, more specifically quite considerable commentary on the involvement of the Gulf countries on one or other side of this dispute in Sudan. But at the heart of it, it has become standoff between the people, as it were, represented by the protesters, up to 1 million who participated in the sit-in, and the military council that effectively overthrew Bashir and took over the reins of power itself. And they have, as of recently, in the last week, reached an agreement as to how they will effect a partnership in constructing a government which will manage the transition. Now, quite frankly, there are still some negotiations taking place on the interpretation of that agreement. And the issues on which there is a disputed interpretation are critical in formulating the relationship between the military and the civilians on the government structures. So we expect that there will continue to be some hard bargaining. But more than that, I think the attention will now begin to focus on what is required to implement the agreement. And the implementation will also be tough and will require international support. Now, as a background, let me just add that Sudan happens to be in the midst of a deep economic crisis. And so any new government is almost immediately going to have to confront very serious economic problems, for which it will need international support, but it will have to take some quite difficult decisions itself.
Many Africans, many Pan-Africanist Africans, many internationally minded Africans are asking, what is the UN doing? What should the UN be doing moving forward now?
I think just to emphasize a point I made earlier, we've decided not to, as it were, enter a crowded field and put forward our own proposals on how to resolve it. We've agreed that the AU has the lead on this issue. They have a strong moral approach, moral values guiding their approach. And so we've really rallied the international community behind the AU initiative. But that doesn't mean that our country team has not been active and has really determinedly followed the principle to stay and deliver rather than to leave the area during this volatile period.
You're saying the UN has not abandoned the people of Sudan.
It has not abandoned the people of Sudan, and they continue to deliver critical services and humanitarian goods and support to the Sudanese people.
In conclusion, if you should look in a crystal ball, the next few weeks, the next few months for Sudan, for the people of Sudan, how do you see things unfolding, particularly with challenges that may arise from the implementation of the agreement?
Let me say, in almost all conflict settings that I've had some experience with, there's a kind of up and down nature of the fortunes of any long-term solution. And the Sudanese, it has been even more particularly pronounced. On Monday, it looked like the country was heading for crisis, and by Friday, it had been rescued. And by the following Monday, it was heading downhill, and by Friday. And that has really characterized the last 2-3 months. I think we're starting to head a slow, positive, upwards trajectory.